Hey everybody, what's good? This is the Blacker Than Usual podcast, a series of politically based conversations that unpack the underlying gaps within Black culture, business, and relationships. Your host, J-Dub, that's me, strives to address the crucial conversations that will strengthen the connection towards moving our culture forward. Listeners should expect an informed conversation from personal experience and thought-driven insight on the top issues affecting our Black and Brown communities. So with that, sit back and enjoy.
Good and terrible.
Well, well, well. Welcome back. We're here for another installment of Blacker Than Usual podcast. Share this with your friends, y'all. You know, give this to your people. We're going to get into some deep information here. Yeah, we're going to start off with voting. Have you voted today? Our election is a few days out for the next mayor. That's going to determine the next 4 years of our city. A few council seats here and there. It's all on the ballot. It's crucial. Current number showing 460,000 people are registered to vote in Nashville, but only 49,000 have showed up to vote. You heard that right. 49,000. We wonder how these things happen. It's all a part of voting. The strategy of it, the political science of it. I think that's what we're missing. That's what we've missed at this point. So we're going to take a few episodes to unpack, provide some information, provide some insight, just some knowledge, some resources that we can use, Google, share it with a friend, share it with somebody, a colleague, let them know what this process is all about and how going forward we make and raise these numbers some. I don't care if you get 11,000 people registered to vote, but if only 50 show up to actually vote, we've achieved nothing. I believe that starts in education. The key to that is learning how this process goes and how we can be most effective in it. And that is how we can warrant some real political power for all of us. So, Voting Matters series we got right here for you today. Political parties and social capital. Well, Dub, hold on. What are political parties? Well, let's go to the basics. It's Civics 101 for these few episodes. Functions of political parties. They run parties. Political parties maintain budget. They help win elections. They run a government. All of these things are vital. The government oversees how we live, everything from sidewalks to streets to schools to stop signs to red lights to things that govern our society and make sure we're, for the most part, in theory, in whole, represented and cared for. They help win elections. Some of these elections get testy. They get spicy. People don't know. They door knock some of these political parties. They phone bank. And by phone bank, I mean they get on the phone and say, "Hey, Jimbo, have you voted for Sarah Lee? She made great cakes." You know, that was a political party that came together and helped win those elections. They maintain the budget. Your campaign manager, you out there running a campaign, you ain't got time to be worried about Sarah Lee again, who gave $10 to your campaign. Well, these political parties come together and they help maintain the budget. Make sure you got money. You need money for signs. All these excessive yard signs that everybody saw this season and all seasons. You got money for that. You got to have food. You got to be able to pay folks. You got to buy merch and gear and a whole bunch of random. You got to pay your way in to the table just to sit at it. They've turned politics into a money game. It's always been money once you win, but now the getting in process is just as expensive. Political parties support and often galvanize resources for that point. They run the parties. Same thing with maintaining the budget. They run the parties. The political PACs come up and give agendas. They give certain type of goals and aspirations that they want candidates to back. That's running it. You know, that's your running back. For my football analogy, you know, you got your team, right? The PAC is the whole team, but your running back is running that down. Fourth quarter, you know, it's two-minute drill. And you got Derrick Henry. Tighten up. You did. He running. He running it. He going to run it. He captain. Okay, that's enough football reference, but you get the point. That is the function of political parties. Well, what is social capital? I know human capital, and that's slavery. No, something. We ain't talking about that. We talking about social capital. What's social capital, Doug? Don't worry. We can go into that a little bit. Social capital is the connections among individuals. Let's just keep it simple. Keep it straightforward. It's the connection amongst individuals. How me and you relate. How information we discuss shared between each other. That is building the social capital. There's two kinds. I would like to highlight them both. Bonding, more as in tightens connections with a group, either religious, ethnic groups, in-group trusts, corporations, things like that, that tightens the idea of what we're going to ally behind. That's building the social capital. The people in these groups, they bond over these type of connections. Your church, your faith denomination, your youth group, your boys and girls club, your fraternity or sorority, they're bonded in these type of social capital efforts. There's also bridging. The second option is bridging, forcing connections across different groups, different religious groups, different ethnic groups, come together and they, you know, unify under that. We're bridging the gap, as some would say. The Orthodox and the Christians come together and they want to support a candidate. That's building social capital. Back in the 70s, we had the Rainbow Coalition. Jesse Jackson was trying to start that. There's an organization here in Nashville, the Justice League, I guess. It's hilarious, but again, realizing we can't do it all by ourselves, so you can't beat them, join them. So aligning, bridging the gaps with other organizations is a way of building that social capital. Your social input is connected with some other people, whether you're bonded to them directly or you're bridging the gap with similarities, all to build that social network. That can come out to the polls, that can get your candidate elected. These are the things that political parties strive upon. That's what they do. A general positive orientation towards a party is known as a party identification. What your party stands for. How you rocking. Are you red? Are you blue? Are you Democratic or Republican? How does that work? That's your identification of the party. Now, we only have two, y'all. I'm sure you're aware. The red or the blue side. Yeah. There's an independent. There's ideas of a green party. There's centrist. What's a centrist? Well, I tell you, a centrist is someone that's really in the middle of things. You say, well, that's independent then, ain't it? That's green. Yeah, but everybody got a title. You know, everybody want to call what they doing is something different than what everybody else is doing. So a centrist, you right there in the center of things. You're not leaning too far red. You're not leaning too far blue. Centrist. I think I kind of align on that piece a little bit at this point more than anything, because there's wild things on both sides to me, and I honestly see our people not necessarily getting the benefit of either. So we have to give some and take some. I like what's happening over here, but I also see what's happening over here. I know what y'all did yesterday, but I know what they did the day before that. Centricism, things of that nature are vital. And when we have that, that brings us to interest groups. What are interest groups, Doug? Okay. Interest groups are any organization groups whose members share a common goal or try to promote their interests by influencing government policy making and decision making. Interests, they galvanize the social capital. They've created a political party. And then they have an interest group. Now we have specific interests that we want to do. Hair wigs are free on Friday. That interest group, they only going to support certain candidates that support their interests. These interest groups mean a lot of things. They mean power. They mean back to the political parties getting actual influence around. These interest groups stand out. If I say I want all the guys to have football on Mondays, Thursdays, and Saturdays, well, it already is, you know, NCAA. But still, say NFL games were on Saturday and Sunday. Well, first of all, everybody will be hurt and tired. The Players Association probably wouldn't like it. But that's an interest. And if I have a group of people that believe in that, we are now an interest group. We're an organized group who share the common goal of promoting the interests of influencing government, policy making, and decision making. These interest groups gonna show up to vote. They can make posters, gonna do big numbers. You know, the word is gonna get around. It will go viral when we have groups put together. Well, these groups are also known as PACs. They evolve to the next step. A political action committee is what PAC stands for. Organization that raises money privately to influence elections and legislation, especially on the federal level, but also in our local level. Like I mentioned prior, we don't necessarily have a three-party system. We got red or blue, Democrat or Republican. PACs are outside interest groups that get access to come inside, if that makes sense. PACs have details and political or insider information, and they galvanize that with private money and resources to influence elections and the policies around them. PACs are good. We have I honestly would say we have too many. Now, let me step away from my insight for a moment. Me personally, I would say we got too many. It separates our black people, and it gives us, our black and brown people, it gives us too many things to run to. If it's five members in my family, right, and all five of us have a different idea of how to go on vacation. One want to go to Florida, one want to go to Mississippi, the Gulf, one want to go to California, another want to go to, Virgin Islands, and one want to go to one of the coastal areas down in Pensacola, something, I don't know. That's five different locations. We're all trying to go on vacation. We're in this group with the same interests, right? We're in a PAC now, a political action committee. But when we have, or at least PAC-minded, but we have five different journeys, five different quests, five different groups, five different organizations that are all equally wanting to take a vacation but go in different locations, different processes, different means, our resources are spread thin. We got to get five different vehicles, five different budgets, five different snack bags, five different hotel rooms. The money gets spread thin, resources get shortened, and that is arguably what I see with the excess amount of PACs and groups and organizations literally trying to do the same thing, but ultimately splitting the resources that we already don't have abundance of. But here nor there, that's just what it is. So back on some details here. I know that sounded a little dark about PACs, but that's just, we're going to have to fix that. I believe that can be fixed. We have to galvanize behind a smaller amount of groups to collectivize. Because we're just dividing ourselves and not conquering nothing. But all of these things, these sentiments, I do believe have added to the decline of political parties, the damage to social capital, and overall neglect of many PACs on the federal level as well. The rise of disinterest in these political parties and just voting in general, the disinterest nature of it. When you feel like you do not have proper representation, when you feel like the people get elected through these PACs and interest groups and do not support your voice, when you have seen a time after time where they just turn into puppets, where it's yes sir, no sir, excuse me sir, may I speak sir, when you see that, you know that doesn't fully represent you. So you're disinterested going forward to support any type of PAC or organization going forward. A lot of our people have felt that, internalized it, and they're just tired. The disinterest has added to the decline. Super PACs. Well, Dub, you just talked about PACs. What's a super PAC? A super PAC is when we go way past an interest group. We go way past community organizing, door knocking and social capital. We're a super PAC to where we have something that's larger than what's really being presented. They have Big Pharma backing and resources. They have Federal Reserve. It's just they're bigger. Example, you have a regular church and you have a mega church. You know, regular church, it's a few pews in there. Get the books in the back, communion, they pass around one by one. Here, take some, pass it down to your neighbor. You know, you can see the from the back of the church, you can see the front of the church. Okay, if you walk in late, the door closed, everybody can hear. They seen you. They seen when you and grandmama came in late. So, you know, and grandma mad at you, she hit you on the back of the head and took the candy from you because you was late, because you was bull jiving trying to get out of church. That's in a small church, a regular church, an interest group of religious emphasis. You see how this all ties together? But a mega church, a super church, no shade to not Club Zion, I wasn't going to do that. No shade to Mount Zion, but that is a mega church, a super church where you can come in at any time and people may not even know you were in the building the whole time. The pastor probably, bishop probably not going to know you there unless you're on that front row. That when it turns into a large scale pack like that, many of the interests get split up. Many of the purpose to come in there. Some people go in there, the Mount Zion, to turn into a club. That drummer starts doom 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 doom. I'm like, wait a minute, what did I just walk into? I thought we was praising. Next thing you know, I'm turned up, I'm sweating. It turns into something bigger. And a lot of times the message gets lost. That adds to the decline of these political PACs and parties and just voting in general. Social media. Last little point on there of the decline in political PACs. Social media. Social media is a gift and a curse. Childish Gambino said, because of the internet. Yeah, it's led us to a lot of things. And one of the things is information. The access to certain information has allowed us to see what these PACs are really doing. Who are these PACs really sponsored by? What are their full motives and agendas? And usually it's not what's on their website. It's not. We've all seen it. Back to the church reference. We all seen Greenleaf, Pastor Greenleaf. You know, it was some wild stuff going on within the church that you wouldn't know unless you was in there. The internet, social media has added to this decline in support for the entire political process, the political parties and the social structures. Social capital aspect of it have been in jeopardy due to social media. People sharing things, telling things. The free and immediate access to new information, TMZ, Shade Room, it's all exploited and shown. So it adds to that disinterest, it adds to that decline. It's unfortunate. We have a lot to do there. For example, perspective voting, basing voting decisions on well-informed opinions and consideration of the future consequences of a given vote. That perspective voting now changes depending on who posted it. You see something from a lone classmate, been friends all your life, they come with their perspective vote, and now your vote may be stifled. Now your vote may change just because someone else says something. And it's literally nothing more than a political opinion, possibly well-informed even. But these things have added into the reconsideration of our own thought process, our own unities, our own interest groups and PACs. It counters that. Social media has added to this decline. I mentioned one more thing. I want to tie in here for this one. I said we'll make them brief, y'all. It's just a little bit. Partisan. It's been a lot of that here in Nashville with the current election. Partisan, nonpartisan. Who is a partisan? Is it part of something? Is it like an artisan piece of like toast and bread? We're not sure. Talking to someone the other day, and it was like, well, this is all that stuff we learned in the fourth grade. I'm like, but who remembers what you learned in the fourth grade? And especially now when we're talking about partisan, it's nonpartisan, what that means. So, partisan, favoring one side of an issue. Or nonpartisan, I don't favor any side. I'm just here in the middle. I'm just here for the greater good. Nashville runs off nonpartisan. Allegedly, with quotes, you can't see my hands, but I got the quotes up. Allegedly, you don't care if it's red or blue. You don't care if it's Democrat or Republican. You don't care what the interest group is because you're in the middle. I don't care what type of PAC or super PAC comes along. You're nonpartisan. So you don't really vote or see. I don't see color is what Nashville has in place. However, anyone that's done took a tour around here, a 4-year, 2-year stint around an election season, you can instantly see how partisan our candidates are. And it's not just Nashville, it's across the country, but Nashville specifically, we have nonpartisan elections on paper, but many of our candidates lean to the Democratic side, and that would mean partisan. That would mean that they have a specific agenda. Those interest groups back and support specific Democratic practices. That's partisan. But on paper, it's nonpartisan. You get what I'm saying? You get what I'm saying? That's just what it is. It's part of the game. It's part of the political strategy that these political parties operate around. It builds social capital. It gets people galvanized. It runs the campaigns. It runs the government. It supports the city and towns and states in the country. It's democracy, right? This is what democracy looks like. These tools here. These are just some of the beginning tools. I just wanted to touch on those. But that's it, y'all. We're going to have some more Voting Matters session. This just wanted to go ahead and get some things out. Real brief, real quick. Rewind this, share it to a friend, look it up, comment, send it, all that good stuff. I want to make sure we're educated going forward. This election will be over here in Nashville in 3 days. Yes, 3 days. We're going to have a new mayor, a nonpartisan mayor, with quotes. So we'll see what happens, y'all. Have you voted yet? It's time. 3 days left. Go out to your local polling locations and cast your vote for your best candidates. Whatever happens, we gonna stick together. Here at Black Unusual, we're gonna try to provide information and content that gets the Black agenda going, gets the Black agenda supported, gets the Black agenda advocated for. And that's it, and that's all. The Black and the Brown community. Everyone else has done it for themselves. It's time for we do it for ourselves. The time is now. Share this information. Tune into the next episode. And until then, as usual, take care of yourselves. Check on everybody. Check on your friends, family, loved ones. Be great. Be blessed. Go vote. And peace.